All right. So, folks, our theme for the week is that following Jesus changes the game. And we will be focusing on one verse primarily throughout the week. It's our memory verse. And it's from Psalm 25:4. And it says, "Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your paths." And we're going to be looking at the life of Peter. And Peter's one of Jesus' disciples. And how following Peter, how following Jesus changed Peter's life, and how we can look at that and see how following Jesus can change our life too. So I want to run you through quickly what we're going to be learning each day about Peter's life so that you'll know what the kids are learning, and maybe you can learn about that this week too. So on Monday, we'll be learning that Jesus is holy. Peter's first encounter with Jesus was when he was fishing on a boat with his brother. Peter was a fisherman. And Peter witnesses Jesus perform a miracle and realizes that he is holy. Now Jesus tells Peter and Andrew, "Follow me." And instead of fishing for fish, now you're going to fish for people. And so Jesus revealed to Peter a life that was different than he could have ever imagined. Life with purpose that can only come from following Jesus. So Peter and his brother leave their boats and follow Jesus, and they become disciples of Jesus, following him closely and learning from him. Jesus is holy. On Tuesday, we're learning that Jesus is trustworthy. Jesus walked on the water. Whoa! Peter was learning to trust Jesus, and when Jesus called to Peter to come out to him on the water, Peter hopped out of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus. And while Peter was putting his trust in Jesus, he took those steps on the water. But when he doubted and when he got afraid of the wind and the waves, he started to sink. But Jesus saved him. Peter learned that even when he doubts, Jesus is trustworthy. On Wednesday, we're learning that Jesus is forgiving. Peter made a big mistake. Right before Jesus was crucified, Peter denied knowing who Jesus was. He said, "I don't know that guy. I am not his friend." Three times he said no, he didn't know who Jesus was. But Jesus gave Peter a second chance to show that he loved Jesus. Jesus forgave Peter, and he was restored in his purpose of following Jesus and living for him. On Thursday, we're going to learn that Jesus is worth following. With Peter's restored purpose, he was convinced that Jesus was worth following no matter what it cost him. Sometimes it can cost a lot to follow Jesus. Peter was bold in the way that he talked to other people about Jesus, and he refused to stop preaching even after he was arrested and thrown in jail. On Friday, we're learning that Jesus is for everyone. We sang that song, right? His love is for everyone. Peter was given a vision from God, and he was told to go tell a man named Cornelius about his vision and what it meant. Peter said, "God has shown me that he does not show favoritism." Peter taught that everyone who believes in Jesus will have their sins forgiven. Game changers. These are big game changers. And they changed the game for Peter. He went from a fisherman to a follower to one of the greatest among the apostles. And Peter was one of those lucky ducks who got to actually walk with Jesus and be with Jesus, literally walking around with Jesus. So how do we do that? How can we be like Peter and let Jesus change the game for us? And that's what we're going to talk about now. The first thing that we need to do to follow Jesus is to get in the Word. Get in the Word. I don't always love that phrase because it sounds real churchy to me. But here's what I know. The Bible is such a rich gift that God has given us. It really is a gift. I'm going to read to you Psalm 119, 97 through 106. I love this psalm. It goes like this. "Oh, how I love your law." Now I'm going to stop there for a second. Laws are not always the things that we love. But up to this point, that's what the psalmist had from God. He had the laws that God had written. That was his Bible. Now we have the whole rest of the Bible, right? So we have all the stuff about Jesus and the future and hope and all of that. But he had God's law. And to him, he loved it. So, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me. They make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. The psalmist knew that God's laws were righteous. They were true to him. So you want to know God's ways and follow his path, you got to get in the word. And at this point, like I said, all he had was the law. So let's look at what he said and how each of those tells us what a gift the Bible is. So we're going to start in verse 98. We get wisdom from the law, from the Bible. 99, we get insight from the Bible. 100, the Bible gives us understanding. Verse 101, the Bible keeps us on the right path. Verse 103, the Bible is sweeter than honey. I want to stop here. I've never tasted the Bible. Now, I've tasted a few things that I probably wasn't supposed to taste. Guys, I licked a mop one time. I don't want to talk about it. It smelled so good, and I thought, I just have to know. Does it taste like... No, it didn't. It tastes like chemicals. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't lick chemicals. Please don't. But I have tasted sweet things, like dessert. You like dessert? You like dessert? I'm a big dessert fan. And the thing I know about dessert is once I get one taste, I don't want to stop there. I want to keep going. Got to have a little bit more, a little bit more. We had some donuts yesterday. I was glad I was really busy yesterday because I would have eaten all the box of donuts. Because once you start with that sugary sweetness, it is hard to stop, isn't it? And that is what the Bible can be for us. It can be that sweetness that we don't want to stop. Have you ever experienced that before? Sometimes that happens to me. In fact, a lot of times it happens to me. I'll start reading the Bible, and I'm like, man, I just want to keep going. I don't want to stop. I want to know more about this. I want to know who wrote this. I want to know what they were doing when they wrote this. I want to know what comes next. I want to know what happened before. When I read with my kids sometimes, they're like, Mom, are we still reading? I'm like, yes, we are. The story's still going. We can't stop here. There's so much to gain and learn and know from the Bible. It is such a gift. It can be as sweet as honey that you don't want to put down. Sometimes... confession, that makes me not want to read the Bible because I'm afraid I won't have time. And I don't just want a little bit. I want all of it. So I'm getting better about that. I'm trying to work on that, how I can keep going and feel that richness. But maybe in moderation, like the donuts, you know. So we're working on that. But the Bible is sweeter than honey. And then the next part, 105, God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Now, this is not a high-powered flashlight. We're not seeing all the way, you know, to the next town or anything. Think a torch. What are we seeing? Just really what's around us, right? God's word gives us what we need every day. God's word may not give us exactly what we need 3 years from now to the day, but he's going to give us exactly what we need. I think about the manna that he provided for the Hebrews when they were coming out of Egypt. He provided what they needed for every day, and he said, trust me. That's what the Bible is for us. It gives us what we need every day, a light to our path. God's word is a rich gift to us, and it helps us see the right path that he has in store for us. And God's word is alive. It's not just a guidebook or a history book to learn from, but it is a living connection that we have with the God who is. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, I don't love the rebuking part, because that means telling you what you're doing wrong, but I appreciate all the other ones. Correcting my mistakes, training me in righteousness, and teaching me the things of God. But it is alive. It's not just for then, it's for now, and it's for the future, because God breathed his life into it. So get in the word and learn to love the word. Let God's word be sweeter than honey to you. And parents, start your kids young on reading the Bible regularly. I sent out an article to parents a couple of months ago. If you missed it, hit me up and I'll send it to you. If you're curious about it, hit me up and I'll send it to you. Briefly, just Lifeway Research does a lot of research about families and kids and longevity of faith. And they studied thousands of families, 1,000 families probably, who had grown children, some who had kept their faith through adulthood, and some who had turned from their faith to adulthood. And one common denominator among the ones who had kept their faith to adulthood was regular Bible reading. So start your kids young, reading the Bible regularly, and that will help them develop a faith that sticks with them. Because God's in the Bible, and God is alive, And we learn who he is, how he loves us, and how we can follow Jesus through the Bible. So get in the word. Second point, get dusty. Sure, what's she talking about? Get dusty. If you want to follow Jesus and have your life changed by him, you have to get dusty. And here's what I mean by that. It's all about discipleship. Now, way back in the day, in Jesus' day, discipleship actually meant following someone. Now we think, I'm a disciple. I believe in Jesus. I go to church. I read my Bible. I have faith. That makes me a disciple. I follow Jesus. But back in the day, there was actually rabbis who were the spiritual leaders who were imparting their wisdom to their disciples. And so the disciples followed them around. They were together. This was an on-the-go ministry. Whoop, I fell into that pocket a little bit. That felt funny. They were on the go and on the move. They were learning from their rabbi by example and by relationship and by listening to every word. And they didn't want to miss a moment. And in this tradition, there was this idea that it would be a blessing to be covered by the dust of your rabbi. Think about walking around and how dusty it might have been back in the day. No paved roads, no sidewalks, floppy shoes probably, kicking up dust all the time. If you were following so closely to your rabbi that you got covered in the dust from his sandals, that was a blessing. That means you were right with him and you were not missing a word. So, we want to be covered in the dust of our rabbi Jesus. That's who we learn from. He's our teacher. He's our leader. We want to be covered in his dust. Now, Peter was probably literally covered in his dust. But how can we get dusty from Jesus when he's in heaven now and he's not here with us to follow closely? How can we get dusty? Well, the great thing about Jesus is he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So if you look at the Gospels and you look at his life, that's the same Jesus. You look at who Jesus was, that's who he still is. Start with the Gospels. See what Jesus did. See how he treated people. See his compassion and his love. See his leadership and his guidance and his care. See his forgiveness and his grace. See how he was and learn from his example. The Gospels are also a great place to start reading the Bible if you want to get in the Word. Because there's nothing like reading about Jesus. It is a game changer. You can also pray. Prayer is a conversation between you and Jesus, right? I would offer up to him a willing and open heart that says, I want to follow you. Surrender to his will, saying, Jesus, I want to know you and follow you so closely that I'm covered in the dust of your sandals. Will you lead me? That could be a game changer of a prayer for you if you're willing and open. Now, you might not know exactly where he's heading, but if you're eager to follow and you're willing to go wherever he takes you, you're going to get dusty. That's a game changer. And here's the thing about dust. It's like glitter. Oh, you guys like glitter? Fuck, glitter gets everywhere, right? Even like so long after you've used glitter, there's like evidence of it. Do you ever just like randomly in life see somebody and you're like, I think you have a glitter on your face. You ever see that before? Like it just happens sometimes. Like I think one of my kids the other day had a glitter like on the back of their neck. We had not used glitter. We don't use glitter at our house. And I was like, something. Oh, that's a glitter. You got glitter on you. So just like glitter, there should be evidence on you that you're dusty from Jesus, that you've been close enough to him, that his essence is all over you. And for us now, that looks like the fruit of the Spirit. That's the evidence that we have that says, I follow so closely with my rabbi that you can see him on me. People will look at you and be like, got something on your face there. Is that gentleness? Wait, is that gentleness on you? Is that self-control? So the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 20 through, 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. If we want to be in step with the Spirit, like Scripture says, in step with Jesus, following so closely to him, we should just be covered in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Everyone should be able to see that about you. People in your family should be able to see it. People at work or at school should be able to see that evidence on you. People in the car in front of you that are driving too slow should be able to see, oh, wow, is that patience on that person? Is that self-control? Huh. Looks a little bit like Jesus. And if people don't see that on you, might I suggest you're not dusty enough? You better get dusty. Get close to your Savior. Follow him so that his evidence is all over you. Look at Jesus' example in those Gospels and pray for his evident leadership in your life. Last point. We get in the Word. We get dusty. We get moving. That's how it's going to change the game for us. Remember, discipleship is on the go. It doesn't sit still. It's a relationship with Jesus that's always followed by a call to action. There's some kind of movement when it comes to following Jesus. After Peter denied Jesus and Jesus restored him, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And they went back and forth like this for 3 times. And then Jesus told him 3 times to do something. He said, "Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep." Jesus and Peter were back in step with one another. And Jesus' response to that was a call for Peter to demonstrate that love toward other people. And so for some of you today who've already had a relationship with Jesus, your move, that move, when they were doing that move, your next move might look like the Great Commission. Maybe it's time to go and make disciples. Maybe it's time to tell somebody else about Jesus. Share the gospel. Maybe it's time for you to evaluate your dust. You know, how am I doing? Am I dusty enough? Can people see Jesus on me? I'm a follower, but am I following closely enough? Maybe that's your move. Maybe it's time to get a little dustier. And for those of you who may still be discovering who God is and what it means to follow Jesus, your move might look like a decision. It might look like a decision to follow Jesus. And that move takes a lot of prayer. It takes a lot of faith, but it is a game-changing decision. And when you're ready, it might look like that song that we sang earlier with those ABCs. A, admit to God that you're a sinner. That's God, you are holy and perfect, and I know I'm not. B, believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the human form of God who lived and died and rose again. C, confess your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's saying, I accept Jesus as my Savior to forgive my sins, and I will follow his ways as Lord of my life. Jesus changes everything. And when we trust in Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, he forgives our sins, and he gives us a purpose. Now, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as we get ready for our time of communion together. And as you prepare to eat that little bread that represents the body of Jesus that was broken for you, and as you drink the juice that represents the blood that Jesus poured out for you on the cross to forgive your sins, I want us to go back to that verse that David wrote in Psalm 25:4. Almost. Make your ways known to me, Lord. Teach me your path. Not yet. Hang on. When David wrote this, he didn't know the rest of the story. Remember, he only had the law. David didn't know the rest of the story. He knew that God loved him, and he was earnestly seeking a way to follow the right path to get to the Father. Well, the good news for us is that we know the rest of the story. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Make your ways known to me, Lord. Jesus says, "I am the way." Jesus is all that we need, and he changes everything. Will you pray with me? God, what a gift Jesus was to us. I thank you for his life, for his sacrifice, for his mercy and his grace and forgiveness. God, he is all that we need to be restored to relationship with you. I thank you for the example of Peter and the examples that we have in the Bible of lives that were changed by following you, God. And I just pray that those are just pillars that help light our way toward you, that we can look at them and say, because this happened to them, it could happen for me too. I want to trust you. I want to follow you. And that's what we want, God. That's what we want for our kids this week. That's what we want for ourselves, for our friends, for our families. God, help us to be bold, to learn who you are, to love you the way that you love us, and to follow Jesus so closely that he changes our lives and he changes the people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.